matter what, get out and see some dirt racing. Get some dirt on your face.
Get some dirt on your dog.
Yeah, dirt on your dog.
Absolutely. With Billy the Kid, my name is Joe Dirt. Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com.
And it's time for Dirt World with Joe and Billy. How you guys doing tonight?
Fantastic, Jack. Always a pleasure to know we've got a somebody to take care of things on the other end of the line. And tonight, of course, that is you, Jack Smith. Really appreciate it. Thank you to everyone tuning in tonight for our Wednesday edition of Dirt World right here on RealRacingUSA.com. We certainly appreciate everybody taking time out of your Wednesday night, as, of course, the postseason is upon us. Nonetheless, there are several races still to go, and Billy the Kid, a big weekend coming up Friday and Saturday for the late month.
Yeah, big weekend in racing, not only in the state of Florida, but also to the World Finals that's happening this week. And tonight, Charlotte's having their makeup race for the World of Outlaws that got rained out earlier in the month, or earlier last month. And it's going to be a big week. I mean, Charlotte going on, and then Friday night, topless Ocala, 3,000 win, 50 laps. Getting a lot of feedback from that, expecting some around 30 cars and maybe a few other stragglers show up. And then Saturday, Clueston in Henry County, which got rained out last Saturday. Big weekend for somebody with 3,000 win Friday, 7,000 win Saturday, $500 bonus if the same guy can win them both. If you run in the top 10 on Saturday night, you're at Ocala Friday night, Ken Kenny's going to give you an extra $100, and he's also made the roost optional on Saturday, so guys ain't got to bust their cans to put them back on.
This is the time of year when you want to go to a race. I mean, the dog days of summer are gone.
Right.
Obviously, very cool weather here in Florida, a little bit unseasonable. As a matter of fact, record-breaking lows here in north central Florida. Tonight slated to be down in the low 40s, and it never got above about 65 today. Nonetheless, perfect racing weather. I mean, the cars respond well. Certainly, it's a pleasure to be out in those grandstands in some chilly temperatures.
Supposed to get down to around 62 Friday night. That's here, so I don't know what it'll be like at Ocala, but it's going to be a big time, man. I'm going to have a trick-or-treat deal at intermission. I'm going to put every car on the racetrack intermission. Have let the kids walk from car to car and do a trick-or-treat. We're also having a costume contest and a lot of big things going on Friday night. I'm, you know, kind of looking forward to it. It's going to be the first topless race in the state of Florida on dirt in a long time, so we'll see how that goes.
It sure is. Talking about topless races, of course, you mentioned just moments ago the World of Outlaws late model series at the dirt track at Lowe's, a makeup race, and they are actually should be qualifying right about now in about four into that. By about 4 minutes, they started at 7:30. So that, of course, is a big event, and with that, that will kick off the 2008 Vault World Finals, and that, of course, will determine the champions in the World of Outlaws late models and the Advanced Auto Parts World of Outlaws sprint cars. But a special feature tonight that I failed to tell Jack about, and I'll tell him in our first break, we have got a treat live from Lowe's Motor, or the dirt track at Lowe's, for you tonight.
Yeah, you know, with the Lowe's deal happening tonight, it's kind of tough for us to bring on a the big guest that we wanted to bring on. We're scheduled to have Earl Pearson Jr. on with us tonight, but he's at the
track. Try Donnie Moran, the defending champion. He's racing. What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, there's nothing we could do. We will have Larry Perkins, who we were supposed to have last week. We will have him on a little bit after 8 to talk about his ending here at the season. Picked up a big win at the showdown on the coast on the modified series, and talk to him a little bit about what he's got going on. But still, it'll be a great show. We'll talk about everything that's going on this weekend, and we'll touch everything and touch on a lot of things that are going to happen, and you know what's going to happen at Volusia Speedway Park as well. You know, the big monster truck deal or Halloween haunts at Volusia Speedway Park on Saturday night. So we can talk about that a little bit, and we'll carry on.
It's going to be exciting. We've got some monster trucks scheduled to show up at Volusia Speedway Park. Twisted trailer races until the last trailer trails. We've got haunted hay rides, minivan, demolition derby, good Lord, witches broom races. Going to be fun, you know, anticipating maybe 3 hours. If it goes 3 hours, I think that's going to be long. But just a quick night, of course, non-competition, but kind of a fun night, candy for the kids. So certainly a great place to bring the family if, of course, you're not traveling. Jack Smith, are you there?
I am.
Talk about Friday, the call being made at New Henry County Speedway for the rain. I had phone calls Saturday saying, man, DeSoto ran. You know, all these racetracks are running. How bad was it down there, do you know?
Well, I wasn't down there, but I know I was watching on my radar that magic radar I have on my desktop, and I was watching that for the 48 hours leading up to that thing, and I think it was a pretty good smart move to make early, because guys travel a long ways to come down to Henry County. It's way south, and it was raining a lot down there, and there was a lot of rain coming in off the southern Gulf, and you know, you really can't predict exactly where it's going to go, but you know, and we've had some Billy could probably speak to this better than me. I mean, he knows that track can be it can be a mess if it's not, you know, the water and the sun doesn't mix right. And I think it was a wise move to, you know, most of the people I talked to were happy to have it, to at least know when we go there to race, it's going to be a good day.
Here's one of the things that people have to understand, and everybody knows it happens to you every time. If it's not raining and you get them all on the racetrack and it's projected to rain, once you get them all there, then it rains. If you call the races, then it just quits raining. As soon as you say the races are canceled, it quits and the sun comes out. That happens to you every time. But, you know, as far as being down there and not being able to see what's going on, I think it was the right move to make, because with the rain we had all day Thursday and all day Friday, it's better to make this assumption in case it does rain on Saturday. You don't want everybody to be down there and be in one big muddy mess. You know, everybody, and it gives you an extra week to get, you know, for it to dry out. You know, Saturday night was a 70% chance of rain there, and during the day it was 50. That went up, and I agree with you, Jack. I think the reason why Ken made the call so early is to keep the guys from traveling. This day and age, you don't want them to have to travel there twice if you can help it. If they drive down there Saturday night and it gets rained out, then they're all mad, because then you tell them they got to come back the very following week. Now they're into it for all the gas.
Now, and you know, another thing that actually worked out pretty good too is, because there's been a, you know, Ken's got a lot invested in the, and other people as well, a lot invested in the media and promotion and advertising on radio and other places for that race. And
right.
And they were able to work that out so that that's still going on, and that's all a good thing for this right. This coming week.
And with the way that Ken did it for Saturday, and the bonuses that he put up for people who go to the racetrack on Friday, and a lot of the guys are going to do it. I mean, if you're listening, I mean, you're more than welcome to. You go down there and race Friday, you find yourself a place to camp out or head that way on, you know, Friday night when it's over. But, you know, you can, we talked to Mike on Friday night, I'm sure that you could camp right there in the parking lot or whatever we need to do for guys that are going to make the trip on Saturday. I think it's going to work out. I think it's going to be a neat thing. It's going to be like a two-day show, and I think it's going to be real good for everybody.
Yeah, how many topless racers you think you'll see down at Henry County after, since it's optional?
Well, I think you'll see a lot more than what people are projecting. I mean, I know I talked to a couple guys said they may get up Saturday and put the roofs on them, but you know what? The roofs being off of them is pretty neat. I mean, I know you guys got to see Sean ran his car at Charlotte County with the roof off. And when I was at Putnam a couple years ago, we had it. We had roofs.
Well, visibly, it's really neat for the spectator. And the drivers, I'm sure, kind of dig it. They can get a little better visibility. But there are definitely performance changes to this race car. Handling characteristics just change all the way around. However, I think in New Henry County Speedway, it's really not going to come into play.
It's the same. It's going to be the same small racetrack as like we have at Ocala. It's the same, almost the same thing. And then you got, like I said, they're about identical to Putnam. I think it just looks neat. One guy called me and said, can I put sideboards on it? And I said, what?
Yeah, now you're getting a little out of hand.
Yeah, he was just kidding.
Now you will have a certain performance advantage there. No
but problem. I will tell you, if they show up on Friday night and they have a roof, it's coming off before they race. They can't. It's not optional Friday night. It's a done deal. That's what one guy said. Well, can I just leave my roof on? No, this is a roof that lids off. I mean, that's what we just set this up a few months ago. And I'm sorry that Mother Nature ruined the deal last week and it hasn't happened this week, but this is something that we set up a while back. And you know, a lot of people asking the question, why Halloween night? Well, when we set this up, there was no race this weekend. There was no other late model race on the schedule for this weekend. Then another thing for Halloween, the kids can go, you're going to have a trick-or-treat contest, I mean, a trick-or-treat deal on the front straightaway. And why not do it with the late model guys? You know what I'm saying? A lot of kids don't get to go up and see their late model people. I mean, when you do driver introductions for the Powell Memorial, they don't get to go out on the track. This is a chance for him to go out and see their favorite late model racer, shake his hand, and for him to give them some candy. And I think it's going to be a neat thing.
Definitely, definitely. Jack, are you going to try to make it on Friday night to Ocala?
Right now, it's up in the air. I'm leaning that way, but I'm not. I don't have totally figured out how I'm going to do that yet.
Right.
I'm working on it.
Gotcha. Right. Well, I mean, you can always go out and get yourself some candy early in the afternoon, and then head to.
Yeah, there you go.
Bring three bags of candy, not just one. Bring three.
I tell you what, I'm hoping to be able to, because I think it's going to be very, very exciting. I mean, I get excited thinking about it. It's, you know, it's always a good time when you have a big field of late models anyway, and you know, what they've got going. Ocala has just become a kind of special place for me. I really like going there. I wish it wasn't so far away.
Right. With the drivers, I mean, everybody's welcome. With the class of field that we got coming, I think it's going to be a great race. I mean, I think you'll see two and three and three wide racing for the lead. I think it'll be a toss-up. And what we're going to do is we're going to take one driver asked me if we're going to invert. I will tell you we're going to do an inversion. We'll do it the way they do it for United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. We'll take the heat race winners, and they're going to draw. We're going to pick a pumpkin. We're going to put plastic pumpkins on the racetrack and put a candy bar in them or something, and it'll have a number, and that's what they're going to do, walk out and draw, and then some lucky kid's going to get that. You know, I think that's a neat way to do it, and we'll do that in intermission as well.
That worked out real well when you did it up at Putnam.
Yeah, it worked out real good.
Folks, be a part of the program with us tonight. It's simple to do. Just drop us an email at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. That's dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. If you've got questions for Billy or myself, or perhaps just a comment, let us know you're listening tonight. dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. We update that every few minutes, and certainly would love to hear from you tonight. If you've got a question for Larry Birkins, Billy the Kid, myself, just let us know. I mean, anything we can do for you here, we'd love to hear from you at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com.
I have a question. You mentioned that having the tops off, the roofs off the late models changes how they handle. How does that work?
Well, I think that's, I mean, and it's common knowledge. I mean, for the most part, it is, I mean, simple. The way the air reacts underneath the hood, it's kind of like a sprint car wing for all intents and purposes, Jack. It's just the way the air moves underneath the hood when the hood's on. And without a hood, I think you actually probably would get a little more downforce without the hood.
When you go in the corner, when you go in the corner and you kick the car sideways, the cell panels on the side of the car could be a little bit. If you take them off, the air goes straight across the car.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you see the guys run the sideboards, which they'll just put on one side, that helps the car go in and turn. And most of the time they put it on the left. That way when the car goes in, the wind
Indeed.
Hits the sideboard,
yep.
the car turns and goes straight off
yeah,
the corner.
Yep.
So, I think when we did this deal, it wasn't about looks. It was about something different. Something that the state of Florida hadn't seen in a while. I mean, we've seen topless late models on asphalt at Ocala, but we
topless dirt late models too, Jack.
Yeah, we just haven't seen the topless dirt on dirt. So
that's cool.
Jimbo's checking in. He said he's got candy. So Billy, look forward to seeing Jimbo, of course, at Ocala on Friday night. Yeah. He's got candy. So. Jimbo, we appreciate you listening here tonight to checking in with us at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. Billy, Jimbo's got candy.
He better have some candy. You know, before we get to the first break tonight, a couple years ago I made a venture and spent the year at Putnam County Speedway and made like a new family up there, and everybody's just so neat and special. And while I was there, something changed my life. I lost my dad on July 14th due to cancer while I was there, and when all the people there found out about it, they all took me in, and you know, and when you lose someone, it's hard to say I'm sorry, or and those thoughts, you don't know what to say.
There's no words, Billy.
But this week, one of the family members from Putnam County Speedway lost his dad. Kevin Mills' dad died this week, just a horrible thing that happened. And, you know, I just wanted everybody to know that Kevin's a racer at Putnam. He's a racer at North Florida. He's a racer at Volusia. He's also a racer at Ocala. But, man, I made a pretty good friendship with the Mills family. We talked about this last week when we had Costello on the phone, whole racing team, that, you know, what kind of friendship we made when I was up there. From all of us, we want Kevin Mills to know that we're thinking about him and his family, what he's going through, and, you know, like we said, we don't like any time when a racer gets hurt or a family member gets hurt or anything that happens when somebody loses a life. And we just want to let Kevin know tonight that, you know, being here at Dirt World, we're thinking about Kevin, and we want him to know that if he needs for anything, just get in touch with us and we'll help him with what we can.
Absolutely. Kevin Mills and, of course, his entire family, thoughts and prayers definitely with you. Kevin, be strong, and this too shall certainly pass. But we're with you, Kevin. Very well.
It's one of them things, you never know what tomorrow may bring. And like I said, you know, we talked about the Mills and Costello's last week, and then for this to happen this week is just a horrible thing for anybody, not just him or not just anybody that has to go through it. But, again, you know, if you need anything, let us know. Get in touch with us, and we hope to see you soon, buddy.
Phil from Lake City was on Jack's program Monday night.
Yes.
As was John
Savercom.
Talking to Jack just moments before the show, he was giving me just a little bit of insight before we kind of ran out of time. But
Savercom putting dirt on, I think.
Yeah, no. You know he wants to. Jack, let me ask you something.
Savercom, is putting dirt on it?
No. Who was John's announcer down at DeSoto?
You mean now?
A guy that may be looking for a job. That's about all I can tell you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, how long has he been there?
Long time. Actually, no, he hasn't been there a long time. He's been there maybe 3 or 4 years, I think.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, somebody call Volusia from DeSoto looking for a job. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know who it was. I mean, hey, why not air it out? It doesn't matter. We got a few listeners.
I'm just curious. Whoa. I mean, did they not know that's Joe's house?
I don't know, but Tanya told him. Tanya said, unless my man falls off the face of the earth.
Well, yeah. Oh, you're looking for a job, are you, Joe?
Yeah.
No, I mean, you
retired? A lot of you people.
You retired, dog, or what?
Actually, you know, Tony Monica has been announcing at DeSoto Speedway as the main announcer since Rick left. Rick and he worked together.
I know Rick's not there, but who is it now?
Tony Monica.
Okay, that's not him. It was another name.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay, very well.
He might have a guest on Saturday.
But wait, that's an asphalt track. Let's back up. I apologize, everyone.
That's right. It's not dirt.
Hang on a second. He might be coming over to get a little dirt experience. If Saffron's going to put a little dirt on there.
Could be.
Yeah, he made it very clear he wasn't going to put dirt on there. But, you know, in racing, as you guys know, tomorrow's news is being made under the table somewhere today.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I was getting at was their Monday night program, of course, with John and Phil. A little controversy this weekend up at North Florida. I mean, let's take a moment and talk about that, you know, as far as, you know, a disqualification for a particular race car. These rules packages for Volusia, North Florida, Ocala, and certainly East Bay, they differ greatly, obviously.
Well, I think the rule package is different. I did talk to Phil on Monday just before he went on the show and just busting his chops a little bit. You know, that's something that we really can't say because we weren't there, and you know, who's to say? I mean, I know that they talked to our
tech guy,
at like 1:30 in the morning, and he told them that it was wrong, and then you change your mind on Monday. It's too late, bud. I mean, well, I've had it happen at our track where at Volusia, where a guy crossed the scales, and they tell him that he's good, and the guy gets to the trailer. Next thing you know, second place guy's shaking me down at the next victory lane interview, going, "Hey, man, he had the wrong tire."
Right.
You know, once you roll through the tech shed and the guy tells you you're wrong, you know, it's hard to argue it on Monday. You know, if you've got – I wouldn't leave till I argued if you got my point through that night. That's what I'm saying, because once you roll away from that place, who's to say what – you know, they could say you went home and changed it again. I really don't know that the car was wrong. I didn't see it. I mean, I could tell you that it's probably pushing the gray area a little bit, but, I mean, what's good at one track may not be good at another.
And there is the point. Is
right.
This a problem, do you see? Or do you think everybody's individual rules packages should remain just that, individual and, of course, you know, exclusive to that racetrack? All these people have gotten together. You've gotten Phil, Hutto, you got Tanya. You know, all these people have gotten together from these racetracks, even Mike Peters. And, you know, the rumors are flying that, you know, they're going to form an alliance. I mean, I think it's good that they meet, but nothing's being done.
First things first.
Nothing's being done.
Okay, first things first. I mean, I'm not a part of this alliance, but let me speak on this for a second. Before you form an alliance, you better have every shoe on the right foot here.
That's right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. What good is it to form an alliance? Me and you can form an alliance, but if one of my class's rules is different than yours, what good is the alliance?
Out the window.
There is no alliance.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're going to form an alliance, everybody should have the same rules, and if that's what they want to do, they need to rotate classes. Because if not, they're going to compete against each other. Here's what's going to happen. Joe took his car to North Florida Speedway. He ran there for 10 races. He got upset. He left. He went to Volusia.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what's going to happen when you come there? They don't look at you as being a new guy. They look at you as being the bad guy because you didn't start the season with them. And
right.
That can't happen in this situation.
That's right.
Where you choose that you're going to run is where people should take. Okay, if you want to run there, that's your business. But when you come see me, yeah, don't get wrong. I'm not going to go to you and say, I think what you should do is think about running here with me every week.
No,
no. If you treat them fair, then they feel like they got a great shot with you, then they may come back next week. But you're not, you don't know what they're going to do next Saturday. You see what I'm saying?
Man, you can't control that.
But you can't have one hobby stock class on 500. You can't have one hobby stock, one racetrack on modified tires, and you can't have one on DOT tires.
Right.
Everything has to, if you're going to form an alliance, everything has to be identical from the pay.
Of course.
From the pay to the rules for every class.
Right.
It has to be the same for each. And I'm talking about every. And I'm not talking about, okay, if I got 10 cars, this is what I'm going to pay. It's got to be the same every week.
That was my next point right there. Talk about how you feel about purse based on car count, which could change every single week.
Let me tell you what's going
on. One thing that Volusia Speedway Park has never done since I've been there is operate like that.
This is
a fundamental that Dick Murphy put in place, and it has held and it has stuck, and I just certainly hope it does.
Well, and the biggest thing is you don't know for sure what the future may bring. It's just a rumor going around that this could be happening. Well, I think this has been happening at other racetracks for a while. I think people tell you that this is going to happen. If so, a certain amount. Here's my deal, okay? And I may be wrong, but I've been on both sides of the ball. My brother's a racer.
Right.
I work at a racetrack. Let me help you for a second. Let me talk to you as a driver now and not as an employee of the racetrack. And then I'll talk from the other side. As a driver, if I have myself a hobby stock car, and I know they have a different purse for 10 cars, and they have a different purse for 15 cars, and it's a little bit higher, I have to ask myself, what if Joe Lineberrier doesn't bring his race car? What if Jack Smith doesn't bring his race car? What if Dalton Straley doesn't bring his race car? Now what if there's only 10? You see what I'm saying? You have to ask yourself, what if? And then you know what? You're not going to go to that place because you're going to be afraid that you're not going to get the 15 cars. You're only going to get the 10 because you don't know what everybody else is thinking. And they're all sitting around thinking the same thing you're thinking. You're going to want to go where the guaranteed money is.
That's right. But listen to me. You can't be thinking that as a promoter. Man, where is he going to be? I don't know if I'll only get 8 to 10 cars. If you do your job right, you take care of that racetrack, and you take care of those racers, you take care of the people in the grandstands, that all falls together.
I know.
They're going to want to come and race at your racetrack. They're not going to want to go travel. Let's go try Lake City.
I know.
You know, maybe that's better than Volusia.
That's what I'm saying to you. You can't sit at home, and if that's what happens, you're going to have it. This is what's going to happen. If they break it up, you're going to have the three or four guys that ain't going to make that trip to the other place. They're going to stay close to home. And then you're going to have three or four guys at the other place that ain't going to make the trip. They're going to stay close to home. Next thing you know, you got 10 cars here, 10 cars there. You see what I'm saying? You understand where I'm coming from?
Absolutely.
But also, too, from the racetrack standpoint, they really think that the racers are traveling. The racers are not traveling. With the economy the way it is nowadays, they're not going to haul their car 200 miles and take a chance on running for less purse. Okay? What's going to happen is the same thing we talked about before. These guys are going to leave these cars parked because they're not doing it for a living. They're going to race when they want to. Well, as a track promoter and as an employee of the racetrack, you might see one guy one week, then you don't see him next week. You know, it's a simple thing. Hey, bud, missed you last week. And they'll tell you where they were. They're not going to go to you.
Of course.
They're not going to tell you that I didn't race last week. My car's sitting on Jackson. Because I know where you race. I look at all the results. But you know what? I don't go up to them and say, hey, I saw you went there last week. You know, what'd you do that for? You go up to them and say, hey, I missed you last week. Never say anything about how they done. Now, don't get me wrong. If I saw that you went to East Bay Raceway Park and you won.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Joe, and you win last week. That's all. Don't go up to them and say, congratulations, why didn't you come here?
Right.
They don't want that. That's a bad sign. And that's what I'm saying.
Is.
And then the racers look back and say, well, the racetrack don't need to make money. Okay? So let me help.
So it's not a business now. It's just open for them.
Thank you.
Not the case.
And that's where the racers have to understand. If the racetrack does not make money, it closes down. When the racetrack closes down, then where do you race?
I tell this story all the time. It was Speed Weeks one year. I was announcing outside on the landing. There was an old man looked at me, bitter old gentleman sitting in the grandstand, looked up and said, I'll bet you Dick Murphy's making $1 million tonight. And I looked right back at him and I said, I hope he is.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, we're talking about this situation in North Florida. We have a car owner checking in with us right now. And North Florida says was measuring the wrong chassis to Chad. His motor is not set back. It is in stock location. North Florida was wrong, like they've been several of
then again, if arguing for the track, what year is your car?
Well, now you're getting into the technical aspect.
Thank you. What year is your car? If he told him the wrong year, they could have very well measured it wrong. I know the difference in the two cars. 77 is completely different than 78. Mm-hmm. I know that for sure.
Well, you're a parts man.
Because I'm in the automotive. But that's the thing. If I ask you what car you have, make sure you tell me the right answer the first time because that's what I'm measuring off of. Don't come back when I measure it and it comes out wrong and say, oh, no, it's this or that.
Right.
We had that happen at Putnam. You know, everybody talks about a certain car that has a different frame underneath it, this and that. You know what? This is what I see at it. If the guy builds the car and he puts the time into it, you know, yeah, he should build it by the rules. That's what you have a rule book for. Okay? But also, too, if you were going to visually protest somebody, make sure you have all your marbles in the center of the circle before you start shooting your lagger down there and trying to knock them out. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm saying it from both sides, Joe. I know where you come
from. Of course.
And they do it to us at Volusia all the time. They want us to check this. Listen, after we check what we're going to check, now it's your responsibility to find out why they're outrunning you. He's not outrunning me. He's not beating me for a championship. He's beating you. You know, save your money, save your scratch. A simple put up and protest him next week's a different story. You know what I mean? But I think that's what goes down. I think a lot of guys, you know, you might guess, pick and choose or guess what car you have. I don't know. Like I said from the beginning, me and you weren't there, so we don't know how it went down. We're just hearing it secondhand. So.
Well, also her second part of her comment was about a particular person that has been rumored to be coming to work at Volusia and Ocala next year. I can tell you this, that couldn't be further from the truth. And that's all there is to it.
Yeah,
that is completely erroneous. That is all conjecture. I don't know where that popped up on the forum, but not happening ever.
Maybe that certain individual wishes, but I don't think.
Well, I'm sure he does. Nonetheless, that ain't happening. So we have had quite a controversial 15 minutes, and it has been a pleasure to talk about these items and to have all of you people on board with us out at World Joe@yahoo.com. We are going to step back for a moment, take a quick pit stop. We're going to get on the line with us, live broadcast from the dirt track at Lowe's Motor Speedway, trying to get you some late model audio. We'll be back with more Dirt Room.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Whether it be tidy whiteys or banana hammocks, you're the one who makes sure our skivvies cut the mustard.
Riding high.
You make sure the door is fastened with secure seams so that the cow doesn't get out of the barn when it shouldn't.
Don't let it out.
Dedicating yourself to a craft others might poo-poo, you can pass every single man on the street and say with pride, you there, you're wearing my underpants.
Oh, yeah.
And no, I don't want them back. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Eagle Eyes, because we're all glad you've got your hands in our shorts. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated and Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes of America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Dirt World, you wanted the best, you got them four abreast, often imitated, never duplicated, the greatest show on dirt, the advanced auto parts world of outlaws.
So we're getting ready for the call, guys. Here it comes.
Rick, thank you so much.
Yeah, we're on commercial right now.
All right, we're back here, Real Racing USA.
All right.
Dirt World.
We got a special
close call on the wall. Rick Eshelman is online right now, live from the dirt track at Lowe's Motor Speedway. Here's the call.
Thank you very much, Joe. We're ready to go back to green.
Ready to go back to green. Two laps in, eight to go. Wall and Davey Thompson in row one.
Eric
Davenport, right
here on the inside of row two. And Eric Wells down at Hazard, Kentucky. He's got his hands full as the juice Davey Johnson sitting to his outside in that Southern Ohio Wooden Timber Seymour Logging 17 machine. They brought two cars here this weekend. Two in the book, eight to go. Wells will creep to the line in turn number four. Now they're on the hammer down the front stretch. Heat number one back underway. It'll be Davey Johnson taking the helm in turns one and two.
Did we lose him?
I guess we did.
Sounds like we lost him.
Oh, man, that was going great. I had cold chills here.
A little special feature for him tonight. Maybe he'll call back, or maybe we'll get back in touch with him.
Oh, man, Jack, did you get here with us?
Jack?
Oh, yeah.
Did we lose Jack, too?
Oh, no. No, I got you, man.
But
I'm just playing with buttons here.
Heat race number one at the dirt track at Lowe's for the topless late model race tonight. Maybe Rick could call back and we can get some more in that. You could hear him sitting in the tower at Lowe's, and what a thrill that is.
That was Ozzie Altman you heard in the background next door to him there. Ozzie, of course, well-known announcer throughout the southeast, Tennessee, and, of course, North Carolina. So Ozzie with the call at Charlotte with Rick.
81 cars.
Man,
that's pretty good.
Johnson was there.
That tells you what they're going to have come the end of the week. So.
Yeah, haven't seen the juice in a while, man, Davey Johnson, so good to hear he's there. But
saw a little something last week that Brett the Jet Hearn may run for Rookie of the Year in the World of Outlaw Late Models next season.
You are kidding me.
Nope.
Wow. Can drive anything he wants. We know that much. Speaking of that, the Advanced Auto Parts Super Dirt Series, of course, Billy Decker, champion of 2008.
Hang on a second.
Fantastic job. Go ahead.
Hang on a second. You're going to tell this story. Tell the people.
All right, I will tell them.
Tell the people.
We're pretty much laying it all out on the table
tonight. This is one of them laid-back shows. Ain't got a job tomorrow at any racetrack, so we're just letting it fly. So you just go ahead and tell them. Maybe Billy Decker might be listening.
Prior to the Super Dirt Week, this was well prior. As a matter of fact, there were several races leading up to that.
Call him Mr. Decker. Now.
Mr. Decker, indeed, owner of a lumber and hardwood company up in upstate New York, and can have pretty much anything he wants.
Yeah.
Flies a helicopter to the races up there in New York. Nonetheless, tried to contact Billy. Did, in fact, with the help of Tom Skibinski, PR man with the Advanced Auto Parts Super Dirt Series, put me in touch with Billy Decker. Billy Decker was slated to be on our program. He, of course, is a late model driver with the World of Outlaws, of course, a big block driver. And Billy Decker, go ahead.
Shot us down.
That's it. Billy had his hand up. I gave him the
courtesy. Does he not realize
Billy
this
Decker.
Is Dirt World?
Billy Decker said, well, Joe, I got a date tonight.
Jack Smith, you got a list of some of the big names we had on this show?
Yeah, I can get it here in just a few minutes.
Now,
I mean,
Decker, because he'll never be on the show. I don't care if he wins $1 million at the Lowe's Dirt Track. We're not getting Billy Decker on this here show.
No, I mean, you don't turn down to be on Real Racing USA on any show, man.
Listen,
not much less Dirt World.
I forgave Billy because I called Billy the Kid this afternoon. We're trying to put this program together, and yes, it was 11th hour, and I said, Billy, what about we get Decker? He's the champion. Billy said, have you bumped your head? I said, all right, forget it. So it's never happening.
You get one shot.
That's right.
One shot.
Sugar Shane had his shot, capitalized on it with an amazing remainder of the season. Brian Burkhofer
Bloomquist
won the world after his appearance. So, come on.
Shane Clanton won the world.
Yeah, Shane Clanton.
Shane Clanton been awesome. Won the Bill Elliott 50 Saturday night in Dixie. Had Tony Stewart and all of them racing, and Ken Schrader won the deal for the celebrities. But Shane Clanton.
Well, you're talking Donnie Schatz, Scott Blomquist.
Tell him.
Jimmy Owens. I mean, come on.
On here, Jack.
Huh?
Tell him.
There's a bunch of them. I mean,
we had Dalton.
Danny Lasoski. I mean, come on.
We had Dalton Straley after he won his first race.
That's right.
We don't need Billy Decker.
Exactly right. Hey, going back to talking about the payouts, BJ checking
in. Yeah, Billy Costello last week.
You're darn right. BJ's checking in. He has a good thought here. What about paying the same through the field? Okay, now wait a minute. In other words, pay $100 to start. Now, this is any division or whatever. This is certainly a hypothetical concept. Pay $100 to start for everyone and maybe pay the top three a little more.
I think BJ is pretty good on that situation, but I've always said that if you have 24 cars, the top 12 or maybe top 10 should be fine, but the 14th on back should only be a little bit different. And I say that because you'll cut out some of the two-to-go 14th-place guy wrecking 13th-place guy for $5. You see what I'm saying here? You understand where I'm coming from?
Right.
I mean, you think about it a little different. Why should I wreck this guy? It's only $5 I'm going to get. For $5, I can't fix my car, neither can he, but... You know, he's got the right thing.
And from a driver's standpoint, Jimbo checks in and says he agrees.
Jimbo ain't even got a job, man.
Well, he agrees.
Jimbo sits around all day and does nothing.
He's got two cars for his son, and he knows right now that they're not contending for the first place prize. He realizes that, okay? So he knows his role. However, he'll tell you this. He will not race at a racetrack without a set purse. He wants to run for a set purse. Is that too much to ask?
Jimbo's been around a long time. He works up there at Ocala with us. He's done some race directing, and he's done some flagging, and he's done a little bit of everything. So Jimbo's a pretty smart character when it comes to that, and he's right. You need. I honestly think that the racetracks that have the set purse will be better off. But you know what? They're gonna do what they're gonna do, and me and you can't control it.
The worst thing.
Because I'm
gonna
tell you right now, from the show we've already had, we ain't got a job out of track in the state of Florida tomorrow. I mean, hey, listen, my phone's rang like four times, and I ain't answered because you know what? That's probably the cutoff call.
Time to start traveling.
Hey, whatever. It is what it is, huh? You know what I'm gonna do? This is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna start me a traveling series. We're gonna race on foot.
There you go.
Hey, you know who probably win every show?
Won't be me.
Wayne Sugar.
Yeah, no.
You ever
doubt.
Seen that old man run?
Yes, I have.
Huh?
Yes, I have.
He's 152, and he runs faster than anybody ever seen.
In his 70th year of racing here in Central Florida.
For everybody that's listening, you know, we're talking about the things that are going on at racetracks. I will give you a little hint tonight because I'm sure the locomotive, Johnny Collins, isn't listening. Johnny Collins told me on the phone he ordered 80 train whistles to give out to the kids
that's
Friday
cool.
night.
That's
so
cool.
He's looking for a big time there, too. So, again, bring the kids. Tell all your neighborhood kids, man. I mean, why trick-or-treat on the street when you could trick-or-treat on the street Friday night at Ocala Speedway? It's going to be neat.
Nice. Nice. You need to be writing ads, man.
I am writing ads.
You're
I'm bad.
Ad, man.
I wrote a nice ad for Doughboy Signs that you should see about. I didn't tell him about it yet.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
For, like, his company?
Yeah.
I mean, just a logo?
Yeah.
Or a catchphrase?
Yeah.
Take me through it.
Nah, I can't do that. It's like doing,
really?
It's like doing a commercial, man.
It's not copyrighted or trademarked.
Yeah, it's like doing a commercial, man. No, we're not doing commercials.
I know all about that. Speaking of that, we still haven't done our promotions for this program.
We need to.
Jack emailed us those.
I'm telling you, forget about it. We ain't got jobs at racetracks. Yeah. We probably ain't got a show when the night's over because we're letting it air all air out. Huh?
Oh, man. Volusia Speedway Park will...
Back to being a nobody. That's what I'm
saying. Volusia Speedway Park will honor our champions throughout the 2008 season at the Daytona International Speedway. At the same weekend, unfortunately, as the Snowball Derby, just the way the scheduling falls... But those tickets are still available, folks. We're a beautiful room. Just a
it's
great
a place,
way.
Man.
Oh, it is. You were there last year. Great way to commemorate, the champions and just good fellowship with all the drivers and their families.
You get your trophies and you walk out the victory lane and
literally
take your picture. You're standing in Daytona victory lane.
Gatorade victory lane right there.
With your trophy and the photographers taking pictures. It was a neat ordeal.
Yep. Dave Shank from DaveShankPhoto.com.
Hell, Joe.
Our photographer's there.
I might be there, Joe. You never know because I might be over there. Daytona International might be the only racetrack I could work at. They may hire me to clean the bathrooms or something. I may be out there sweeping up y'all's mess.
Talking to you earlier this afternoon, I kind of got the hint. Is the Snowball Derby not set in stone for you?
Yeah, that Snowball Derby's always set in stone.
No, I mean, as far as your trip.
Yeah, you know, man, I could change my mind tomorrow. I ain't got no job. Huh? Why are you laughing?
I think I've got to be kind of like George Bush and John McCain here. I've got to realign my relationships and kind of separate myself from you, I think.
Thinking Friday, what's going to happen? I'm going to set up a fishing trip with Jimbo since he don't work.
Yeah.
Actually, Jimbo's got a job. I just bust his chops about that. But what do you mean? You want to cut ties, too?
Well, I mean, we used to be...
Well, I tell you what. Before I hang up the phone, I'm going to cuss out you and Jack Smith.
Jack Smith.
No, just kidding, guys.
Jack has done nothing. Hey, we had a good... Speaking of Monday night programs, of course, Inside Florida Racing was very special. That's archived, so make sure you hear that. Very good stuff with promoters versus a host. Nonetheless, Trackside tonight was pretty good. Even though we talked about NASCAR for 59 minutes, it wasn't that bad. You and I actually were able to engage in some critical analysis with Randy Dye about the NASCAR season. Jimmy Jeep checked in with us, and of course, our very own Gene. But it was a good program. That's archived as well on RealRacingUSA.com.
Yeah, it was a great Monday night. It's always great. Always look forward to Wednesday night. Well, down tonight, we were pushing for Earl Pearson. We still want to get Earl and talk about his fifth Lucas Oil Championship. And this seems like they're all racing, but sooner or later they're going to be raced out. And Donnie Moran was going to be with us tonight. He's
yep.
racing. And we didn't race last weekend, so we really couldn't pick a local driver that won, unless you want to pick Mother Nature and if you want to walk outside and see if she'll talk to you a little bit.
Yeah. Now, you thought about actually going up to Lake City, decided not to.
Yeah, it was a long trip to make by yourself. I like to go racing when I'm not racing, but I kind of spend the weekend. You got every weekend we're off doing something, and me Friday night and Saturday night, I did a little something with my kids this past weekend, and I enjoyed it just as much. So.
Nothing wrong with that. Volusia County Fair is in town. The Volusia County Fair and Youth Show, one of the greatest county fairs in the state of Florida. So
starts tomorrow.
That does start tomorrow. You'll be going out there
I may be working there, dude.
I got a good buddy in the dunk tank, and Bobo will certainly...
Maybe he'll let me gather up the baseballs?
Yeah, he's not going to let you take the money. He certainly won't put you in the tank, but he'll let you be the ball boy.
Maybe, whatever.
Who do you think's hot up there for tomorrow night, or for Friday night at Ocala? I mean, the bald kid won again.
What's your question, now?
Who do you think's going to be front-running up there at Ocala on Friday night?
I think it's Wednesday night right now, and I can't pick a damn winner. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't know who's going to win. I'll be honest with you, with the list of names of guys that I know for sure that I've talked to this week is coming, let me tell you what one local driver told me, and I'll go ahead and say his name, John Rankin. He said, Billy, it's edging at me to get back in my race car because right now it's the best it's ever been.
It was that good at Volusia 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It was unbelievable, that race car.
I mean, with the group of drivers that is coming, anybody could win. I mean, the last time we saw Collins, Evident Lloyd there together, they were three wide for five laps. I mean, Dent took the lead. Collins passed him on the outside. Whitener passed him on the inside. They were three wide for five laps, and this was only a 25-lap feature. Imagine what it's going to be like for 50 laps Saturday night. So we'll see. I tell you what, I can't pick a winner, Jack. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a big opportunity for somebody to walk home or take home $10,600 with $3,000 on the line Friday night, $7,000 on the line Saturday night, the $500 bonus, and the $100 running in the top 10, $10,600. That's a pretty good payday for somebody.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you can look at the fact that even though we talked about some different changes in the handling of the car versus with the top on or the top off, I don't think you can look at that concept and say, well, this guy runs better with the top off than this guy does. So that's not really going to come into play. I think it comes right down to what you said, Billy. Who's got the car, to withstand 50 laps on that little bull ring? And like you said, this thing ought to only take just a few minutes once they get hooked up. You're going to start, 24, 26 race cars. Once they get hooked up, these guys start going. This could get in the record books pretty quick.
I'm telling you right now, the last time that we had this group of guys here, or the group of quality guys that we're having, we ran 17 green flag laps. And I think the caution came out because one guy had a flat tire and he pulled up to the top trying to buy a little time to get it. 17, I'm telling you, they were three wide for the lead once again. Change the lead back and forth. 17 green flag or 18 green flag laps. Jimbo knows he was there. I mean, BJ was there. It was awesome, man. It was one of the best late model races I've seen. We only had 12 or 15. Now you put another 24 cars on it. And I'm telling you right now, any one of those 24 guys could win this show.
Yeah, and just the guys that you've rattled off tonight, of course, over the last couple of days that you've spoke to.
Tyler Ivey.
There's no clutter out there. That's right. You didn't even mention Tyler Ivey that you've already spoke with. But there's really no clutter to speak of out on that racetrack. None at all.
I talked to Tyler Monday. I believe it was Monday. He said, I already took the roof off of it. So, I mean, this is what kind of excitement guys are getting in. They already got the roof off. Matthews told us that he's taking the roof off his. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how many.
Yeah, but finish that on Jeff Matthews. He said you have to buy him a box of rivets for $14 to put it back on for Saturday.
Yeah, Jeff Matthews was being a little funny, but I already bought him for him.
Hey, believe me, the car repossession business is better than ever.
Oh, I'm sure
that's
it is.
What he's in.
But, you know, it's going to be awesome. I mean, we didn't even mention Krause, who gets around the place real good.
Sure.
I mean, Rich Pratt lives 2 miles, 3 miles there. He was the latest late model winner there. Sean Smith, that actually was the latest one, he's going to be there.
Yeah.
Shane Williams is coming in from Louisiana. He's been in Louisiana working.
Runs real good there.
He's coming. I mean, he's leading the points. He's coming to protect his points lead because this is a points race.
And you've talked to Mike Bresnahan.
Mike Bresnahan's coming, yep. Dylan Wood. We haven't seen Dylan on Ocala in a long time. He's going to be there. I'm telling you, man, just the quality of drivers going to be there. This is anybody's show.
Yeah, it is going to be fantastic. BJ, I hope you'll let me come up there with you, man, because I am certainly looking forward to it. You can't make me sit in them grandstands.
Why not?
Maybe you can pull some strings for me, Bill.
I might be sitting right next to you, buddy.
You probably will. So I got to pay full price and everything.
I messed up now. I can't get a job in North Florida. I can't get a job. Jack's Raceways is closed. I guess I could go to Brunswick. Hell, we're going to Henry County this week.
I don't think you can work for Frankie.
I'll put in a job application at Henry County.
I can get you a job up at Swainsboro with my good buddy Sean Womble.
Swainsboro.
Sean Womble.
Switch over to asphalt.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Tell you what, we are going to put the brakes on just for a quick minute. When we come back, we will have our modified driver of the number 54, the Larry Shaw prepared race car. Larry Birkin will be on the line with us next.
Toting it heavy.
Here on Dirt Road.
Dirt World, you wanted the best, you got them four abreast, often imitated, never duplicated, the greatest show on dirt, the advanced auto parts world of outlaws.
Here on Dirt World on Wednesday.
Rob. Welcome back to Dirt World. Thank you, Jack Smith, doing all the right things, pushing the right buttons back in Bradenton, Florida. With Billy the Kid, I'm Joe Dirt, as always, on our Wednesday night motorsports talk show, Dirt World. We want you to be a part of it, folks, at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. Real simple. If you've got a question for us, a comment, perhaps, email us. We update that every few seconds.
Don't email us the fire stuff.
Yeah. And email resumes. Blank resume so Billy can fill them out for his job search, which will certainly be taking place after this program. Real quick, before we get on to our guest, Jimbo checking in with another question. Now, after Earl Pearson got hurt during Speed Weeks with just an amazing crash in turn number three, Bobby Labonte, of course, the car owner, he said right on Wind Tunnel and, of course, several other media outlets that they were going to look at the dirt late models to make them safer. And Jimbo asked, has anything come from that? I will tell you, the Bobby Labonte Motorsports and Lifelong Lock Sponsor Machine did, in fact, change the seat. The seat configuration was changed, putting Earl Pearson a little tighter in there.
A little down further in the car.
Exactly. What happened to Earl's car, Jimbo, was the cage actually collapsed. Now, that should never happen, but nonetheless, it did. So that's, of course, what hindered him trying to get out of that race car. That's what took so long to extricate him from the car. But, you know, Bobby Labonte Motorsports doing everything they can. They're very happy with Earl Pearson Jr.
Five-time Lucas Oil champ.
Five-time, and, of course, Lucas Oil late model series. The guy's amazing. He is certainly a dirt late model star. But that's what's happened with that deal. And right now, the other deal on the line with us right now finished in the fifth spot in the 2008 UMP Dirt Car Budweiser Modified Points, checking in from the Jacksonville, Florida area, driving a Larry Shaw prepared new vision graphics, the number 54, Larry Perkins. Larry, how are you, sir?
Doing fine, guys. Doing fine.
Larry, it's certainly a pleasure to talk with you. You are one of these drivers that when you do show up to the racetrack, you put your nose to the grindstone, you get the job done, you go back home. So to spend some time with us here tonight certainly means a lot. You had quite a season when you debuted this brand-new race car. Things went very well, and, of course, you had your share of problems out there. But all in all, you know, putting a letter grade on your modified season, I'd have to say it was a high B, my man.
Thank you very much. It was a great team effort from everybody involved, and we had a good time, a lot of fun.
You know, you took some time off in the middle of the season and went to Arkansas, and I said, what are you up to? And he said, I'm going to learn some things. I'm going to go race some. I'm going to Shaw. I'm going to get a little help. You come back. You win the first heat race. Or you win a heat race, and then last 2 weeks ago, you pick up a big win at Golden Isles in their showdown on the coast deal. Talk about that a little bit. Talk about the changes and what some of the things you may have learned while you were gone.
Well, it was a great time for me. I actually broke the ice last year at Golden Isles and at that same race, so it was very ironic. Go back and to get my first win there. It was a goal to win a race my first year. I never got lapped. I won about 10 heat races. I won a dash for cash up there in Screvens, and then had a lot of fun at Volusia. Really enjoy that and call that my home track. And to go up to Brunswick and Johnny Collins, I can't say enough about him. He's probably the reason. I mean, I tore, as you know, Billy, we tore that car up a few times.
Right.
I had a good break in the action. I went out to Arkansas for a couple of months and got on those quarter-mile short track. Those higher banked, and those guys really, really hammered down out there. Got in the action out there, was competitive out there, led some races, and went up to Shaw, Kirk Shaw, who does the graphics. Kevin Shaw, who actually is the designer of the car, he spent a whole day, went from one end to the other on the car, tuned it so that when I got home, it would work real well, and it did. I can't be more happy with everybody.
You know, a couple weeks ago, I sat down in your trailer with you before you went out. I actually left. I didn't get to watch the modified race. Individual went with me, had to be at work at 4 o'clock Sunday morning, so we didn't watch the mod race, but I had heard you'd won. But we sat in the trailer, and I think that's one of the most... I don't get to spend much time in the pit area when you're at Volusia to see what's going on, but you were one of the most relaxed individuals I think I've seen, and when I walked out of the trailer, I said, this guy could very well win this deal tonight, and you did. Are you like that every week at the race, or...
I'm there to have a good time. The winning or placing, I'm not, when I got into it, I've got three daughters, 19, 17, and 12, and my wife. My mom and dad come. I've got a great group of people. We normally bring about 20 people to the track, and we go to have fun. If we tear something up or hit something or get hit, nobody's upset about anything. We just try to put our best foot forward and I invite anybody to come down to the trailer. My wife's normally got some great food. We have a good time.
It's my kind of driver right here.
All right.
Not any high pressure. Johnny said before the race, the car was working real good from the day before the heat race. It was doing real well. He said, you got a chance at it. So I didn't want to get too wound up. Had a good time. And
Larry, you know, the performance that we've seen out of you, certainly at Volusia, to run as well as you do, that's one of the big dirt tracks, obviously. And then, of course, to go up and win the showdown on the coast. Then, of course, the time you spent out in Arkansas learning, you know, with the Shaw Group, and, of course, racing on those racetracks where modified racing is second to none. I mean, that is the premier division. Yeah, it's certainly in the Midwest there. But does this give you some momentum or perhaps a little bit more encouragement to try your hand during the Dirt Car Nationals? What are your plans there, man?
We're gonna keep taking it step by step. And to be honest with you, I was racing with some guys out in Arkansas that travel all over the country. That's all they do.
Sure.
And we're gonna keep going up. And maybe a year from now, we got a late model along with the modified. And we're just gonna have fun, and we'll show up and race with these guys. And I think we're gonna fare okay. We got a good motor put together, and we got a great car. And I got a Johnny Collins. As you guys know, y'all talked about him a whole lot on your radio station. He's one of the best there is, and he's the only one that puts his hands on my car along with me.
Wow.
He's not a bad guy to have in the corner, and the friendship that you guys have built with him, yourself, and Murray, Dale, you guys have got it pretty good there. And to be honest with you, to have Johnny Collins in your corner, that's a pretty good one to turn to when you need help. And I've seen him wheel your car. I think he's wheeled your car, or he wheeled the 66 car to victory earlier this year at Volusia Speedway Park. So he's got in the bike. He can get anything. So if he tells you that the car is probably doing this, or you tell him the car is doing this, he's probably one of the best ones that can help you fix it. And, you know, you've come a long way this year. You went to Arkansas. You worked on your stuff. You got Larry Shaw, or you got Shaw to do it. Like you said, you won a bunch of heat races. Like Joe said, you won at the big racetrack at Brunswick, and you also won the Dash for Cash at Scrivens. So you pretty much got it mastered. But his question was, during the Dirt Car Nationals, when Dirt Car Nationals gets here in February, is there a chance that we may see you try to run some nights? I mean, one night's going to pay $5,000 to win for them cars.
You can count on me being there.
Good deal.
And we're not going to be bashful. We're going to stick it up in there. And we got some extra parts in the trailer. And hopefully these boys will be gentle on a young man in the sport. But if not, we'll put some parts on the car.
Larry, what is the difference? And you certainly are in a position to be able to answer this. You know, you got Charlie McNichol, yourself, of course, you know, all these modified drivers that we have out at Volusia, Jamie Carter, Jimmy Carter, guys that certainly give a good account of themselves each and every week, winning trophies, trying to make the program during the Dirt Car Nationals when these cars appear to be identical to what's coming down, it seems almost impossible. What's the big difference? I mean, you guys, I would assume, have the advantage simply, you know, from knowing the racetrack a little better. But it's so difficult for some of the local guys to even make these shows. What's the big difference?
I'm going to state, in my opinion, the big difference, and I stated this when I was in Arkansas. We here, we drive at that track, but we also work on our own cars. We put them together when they get bent up. We straighten them out. We're the ones that work on them, and we drive them. And those other guys, they got a team of people, and all they do is drive cars. And if they've just done one all the way in half, tomorrow when it's time to race, they're expected that their crew's going to have that thing put together. So they drive with a little bit different attitude of driving. They're going to be hard on the car. They're going to drive it like they stole it, and we are too. But the truth of the matter is, if Charlie's coming down underneath me, I'm gonna move up the track. If he's got his tires in the right spot on the car, I'm gonna give him the lane. Well, they're not. Jamie Carter, he's gonna drive a lot like them. He's gonna drive that car as hard as it can be driven. Jimmy Carter and myself, we're gonna be a little bit more gentlemen about it.
And Jason Davis is going to grab everything he possibly can.
He's going to drive that thing like it's never going to be driven.
Hey, well, you got your Larry. Hey, all due respect, he is our great white hope. You know that for February, right?
That's right. He
is the pride of Volusia when it comes to dirt car nationals. We got a lot counting on this kid.
he spent some time in Brunswick at that showdown on the coast, and we were cutting up a lot. And you got to respect how he drives. He didn't leave anything out there.
That is so true.
He leaves it all on the racetrack. He's going to go for broke. He's really enjoyable for the crowd to watch. I enjoy racing with him. I got a feeling that we should be battling together against all these people that are coming in.
You know, you have Murray right there sidekick with you, and this year picked up a couple more guys, the two Smith brothers.
That's right.
I call you guys the four horsemen.
That's right.
You guys get along good. You always want to park good together, park right next to each other. And I looked down there one time, one of them's car's been up. You guys are all in there helping each other, and it's a great relationship. I mean, the four of you guys came along this year. You came to Volusia week in, week out. And that's what you see. You see guys, and that's what you need. You need guys to get along more and more. And I mean, it's just unbelievable to watch how that works. And then last week or 2 weeks ago when I went to the showdown, I'm walking by, and I see Murray, and I told Murray, I said, your front tire's flat. So then you see me, we start talking. I went up in your trailer, sit down for a little bit, and I'm like, when I walked away, that's what I was asking. I mean, you go to the track and you're relaxed. And I think the problem with most guys is nowadays that you put too much pressure on themselves.
We go over there with the right mind. I'd like to invite everybody out there to Volusia. It's a wonderful place. Went over to Ocala. We went over there and tried that out. That's a great place. Need to just encourage a lot of people to come over. It's a wonderful, wonderful track. The management does a great job. They're very hospitable to the families. It's got a real, real professional way it's handled. They move everybody and the races around real good. You guys do a good job of keeping it all. Remember the night that the little kid had the part? Needed the part. They found that part, Billy.
Yeah.
And you do a lot with the children and include them. It's a real family atmosphere.
It was a rear spring.
That's right.
And it was in the fire truck. And one of some little boy asked one of the employees if they could have it. And before the employee knew who it belonged to, I guess they just assumed somebody was claiming it. They told the little boy, yeah, he could have it. And then when I found out it was yours, I was going to get it back from the little boy for you. And what you said was, I'll just buy a new one.
That's right.
The little boy walked out.
Young man.
He had a big smile on his face, and he walked out with that. Went home with a spring out of a modified car. And like I told you, we'd get it back from the little boy if you wanted. And this is what you said to me. Let the little boy take it home.
He's probably on his wall right now.
He probably slept with it that night.
No doubt.
That's what I told.
I caught the wall coming out of turn two. I was by design staying hugging that wall, and I didn't catch that opening just right.
Okay.
And it caught the back end of that car and ripped it up pretty good.
Okay.
I want to say that the following week was an open week, and then the next week we had a new car sitting there. We were racing.
Right.
And that young man, I'm going to say, probably was back at that race.
Yeah.
Was that Evolution?
Yeah.
Okay. It was.
Gotcha. That's
my. He came to Ocala once and came off a turn two off the dogleg. I was out there. We're getting ready to walk the track in, and he's out there, him and Johnny. And Johnny was showing him certain break points and stuff, but. Actually, Perkins had a real good run, and he came off the dog leg on the back and hit the wall and bent the two right side rims. And he looked at me when it was over, and I said, I'm glad you showed up. He goes, I'll be back.
So that's right.
So he goes, and he has a great time, and he is this year's showdown on the coast modified feature winner.
Indeed.
Larry Perkins, man, we appreciate you taking a little time with us tonight.
I can't thank you guys enough for the compliments, and I'd like to thank my family, the Lord above, and Johnny Collins.
Larry, real quick, man, it's Joe. How special will it be when you win at Volusia, or is it just another race when you finally pick up that elusive trophy?
Oh, it's gonna be a blast. I'm gonna have more people. I'm gonna have the prettiest, loudest pit crew you've ever seen out there on the track.
Gatorade on my microphone. I'll be happy.
I'm gonna have a whole bunch of people. There's a bunch of people out there that come to see us, and it'll be very exciting. I led a bunch of laps out there.
Oh, I know it.
And just some rookie mistakes. There's some good drivers out there, so I take my hat off to them. I go down there normally and shake the winner's hand every time.
Yep.
And enjoy racing with them. and I'm looking forward to it. I don't think it's too far off, but I don't want to open my mouth and insert my foot.
Very well. Larry Birkin, certainly a pleasure to kind of get into your mindset a little bit. It means a lot to us here on Dirt World, and hopefully we can call you on a whim and put you back on the air real soon.
Thank you, Joe. You guys have a great evening, Billy. I really appreciate you.
No problem, buddy. Appreciate you.
Larry, see you later.
This guy came on the scene earlier this year with a modified. Him and Dale Murray pretty much traveled together, got two identical Shaw cars, one number 66 with flames all over it. One a black 54, toting it heavy is what they call him. Great group of guys, man. They picked up one of them cars from the Blair family up there, Kenny Blair. Smitty and them picked up a couple cars with two Smith brothers, Jamie Smith and his brother, and they've been there with us every week, and they just love and racing. They enjoy racing. They go and have a great time. I've never seen the guy. Let me tell you what happened was the spring came out of his car. Okay? So you understand. It was in the back of the fire truck. He went looking for it. We usually put debris in front of the Sunoco sign. Nobody put it there. He went to the Sunoco sign looking for it. It wasn't there. I just went over there to him when the race was over because he had hit pretty good. And I said, are you okay? He said, I'm fine. He said, hey, did anybody find a spring? So I went asking, and one of the officials said, there was a spring in the back of the fire truck, and I gave it to a little boy. And I was like, oh, well, I seen the little boy heading up the track. He was walking towards turn four to leave, so I headed over to Mr. Birkin's car and told him what had happened. And I said, I'll go get the spring from the little boy. And that was his exact words to me, let the little boy take it home.
Good deal.
He said, I'll buy another spring. And I told him, I said, you make the little boy's day. You know, because now the little boy takes the spring home. The little boy probably slept with it. Next thing he got in a piece of a race car. It was probably the kid's first time at the track. You don't know.
Could have been.
But, you know, you see what I'm saying? It's guys like that that make things go round and round. And like I said, if one guy wrecks and they're all partnered together, they're always looking to help each other. That's how they are. They're a great group of guys. Last week, 2 weeks ago, like I said, at the showdown, I'm walking by. Dale Murray comes out and talks to me. And I looked at Dale. I said, dude, your left front tire's flat. Well, he hadn't even noticed that it was flat, you know. So I went up in the trailer and we're sitting down talking to Birkins, and Birkins looked at him and said, you need anything? And this is the type of guys that they are. They'll extend their hand to you. Just like he said, every time somebody differed or every time somebody won, whoever it was, he was always the first one down to congratulate him. And they're just a great group of guys. And we're lucky to have them at the Volusia.
Yes, we are.
And they've also been making the trip to Ocala, and we're glad to have them there, too.
We look forward to that first win out of Volusia Speedway Park. That's going to be amazing, man. I love a first-time win interview, and I look forward to that. Yeah. Well, Billy, great program, man. Let me take a moment and certainly thank all of our guests, Larry Birkins, Rick Esselman, certainly BJ checking in with us, Jimbo, Denise, everybody that made Dirt World possible, and certainly last but not least, our good friend Jack pressing all the buttons back in Bradenton. Folks, if you're not at a race this weekend, then you must have got sick on Halloween candy. Friday night, Ocala Topless 50 Lapper, going to be huge. Saturday night, New Hendry County Speedway, just south on US 27, south of Moorhaven, just outside of Clewiston, Florida. Nice, easy drive right down the center of the state for the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Keep Kevin Mills and his family in your prayers this week. Can't wait to see Kevin, and don't know what I'll say. Just the same thing everybody else will say, sorry. Just want to see him back and see everything going well for him. But it's going to take a little time, and we just want to tell him one more time that we're thinking about him and we wish him all the best.
Indeed. And, of course, the Vault World Finals at Dirt Track at Lowe's if you want to take a little trip to Old Sweet, North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for Billy the Kid. I'm Joe Dirt on Dirt World, Real Racing USA.
Go out Friday night and get a little dirt on your face.
Get it on your dog.
On your dog.
See you, folks.
Till next Wednesday. Good night, everybody.
Hi, I'm Don O'Neill, driver of the number 71 race car, and you are listening to The Real Racing USA.